Today, we'd like to see the title of the whole counsel of God in Book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 1 to 38. To the souls on the online world through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 22, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Explain it compared with verse 30, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in verse 21, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Last question in verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What does it mean and what can we learn from here? Here is a Paul's third mission trip map, Book of Acts chapter 18, 23 up to 21, 16. Probably 53 up to 57 AD. Today, so we are particularly covering right here Ephesus and up to Mytilene, Assos, Troas, then Macedonia, Corinth, then turn back, the finally Miletus. Then Paul is taking ship into Jerusalem in that way. In the last time in Book of Acts, chapter 19, 40-41, for we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, who were made by Paul according to Jesus' great commission. And officials, the friends of Paul, convinced Paul not to go into the theater before the angry audience. The assembly of the people were confused why they had come together here. Then Alexander, the coppersmith, wanted to defend that the Jews were not responsible for Paul, but after discovering him as a Jew, they cried out, "Great Diana," for 2 hours. Then the city clerk persuaded them, upper number one, any image of Diana or Zeus, the god of the sky, neither stolen nor damaged by the arrestees. And number two, Demetrius and other craftsmen's right to file a lawsuit before proconsuls or magistrates in the courts. And then the assembly was scattered. Verses 1 to 3. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return to Macedonia. After the riots in Ephesus, Paul encouraged the believers or the disciples and went to the northward from Ephesus in Minor Asia region and to the Greece, where was the Macedonia region and Achaia region. Paul had planned to sail from Corinth straight to Antioch in Syria, but after 3 months, Paul heard of a plot of Jews to kill him, and Paul decided to go back over his steps through Macedonia flexibly. See the above map. verse 4-5. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. Those brothers went ahead to Troas in Minor Asia region. The word us shows Luke, the author of this book, joined in this Paul's third mission trip. Verse 6, Paul was sailed away from Philippi after the day of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Paul, Luke, and our other brothers went from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, just after Passover, to Troas in 5 days. They stayed there 7 days. Verse 7, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until the midnight. On the first day of the week, the Sunday, or the day of Jesus' resurrection, he broke bread and had communion service and delivered his message until midnight. Here, Paul held the weekly worship service on Sunday rather than Saturday to the Gentile believers. In Troas or in Corinth to care to the keeping of a Sabbath on Saturday was a perpetual covenant between God and Israel under Mosaic law. But now a Christian was under new covenant in blood Jesus, the master of Sabbath, under grace, not under Mosaic law. So the Sabbath on Saturday is not mandatory longer. But if we were under the law and violated one point, we would violate the whole law, being under curse. 8-12, right here. There were many lampers in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him." Now, when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. During Paul's teaching until midnight on Sunday, Eutychus fell down and died. But Paul exercised the gift of the Spirit or miracle to him who was alive and ate bread. They were much comforted hereby. 13-15. Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos. Look at the map. The map above the map. Intending to take Paul on the board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, he took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogylium. The next day we came to Miletus. Paul, Lucas, and our other co-ministers went to Assos, Mytilene, Chios, Samos, Trogylium, and finally Miletus by ship and on foot. 16, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he would hurry to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Paul was hurrying to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Passover from Miletus in Minor Asia, because he wanted to deliver the collected donations of various churches in Rome, Macedonia, Achaia, Corinth, and so on, so to the needy saints in Jerusalem on the Pentecost, or the Thanksgiving Day to the Lord, for his provision of the Holy Spirit to every creature. 17 of 21, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul called the elders of the church in Ephesus from Miletus. Paul's ministry was service to the Lord, not to man, with all humility. It is the earmark of a person who has been called used of God against the tendency of people who exalt, elevate that person, because God uses the humble person with the many tears and trials and plot, with compassion upon lordship and long suffering or patience through trials. Paul did not ask any necessity from his ship, but did proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, taught to you publicly daily at the school of Tyrannus and from the house to house. For example, CCH various facilities throughout the COVID-19, allowed by the Spirit. Paul testified to Jews and to Greek who repented before God and believed in Jesus Christ. 22 up to 23. "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me." Paul was bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, even if he didn't know things to happen to him, where change and tribulation await Paul. Paul's ministry is controlled by the Spirit, not the flesh. However, in verse 30, the ministers made God's word perverse and drew away the disciples of the Lord after themselves. Their ministry is controlled by the flesh, so we learn from Paul to be a key, obedient follower of the Lord, venturing out in faith. 24, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God." We as Christians have eternal life, whether by life or by death. Christ lives in me, and death is my gain to meet the Lord in heaven. Our life is considered worthless unless it is used for God, because life is perishable, but God is forever. With the excellence of knowledge of God, with the righteousness from God through faith in Christ, and in the Spirit, we are being sanctified through the perfect image of Jesus Christ. In Paul's temporary testimony, whether in body or out of the body, "I don't know, but I was taken up into heaven, and so he had no fear of death." He knew when we died, we would be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. So we would be absent from these bodies so we can be present with the Lord. Therefore, I don't fear the change and tribulation Jerusalem awaits me, but I am bound to do the ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit to deliver the donation and to preach gospel of grace of God. Paul fought the good fight, finishing the race of his life to his personal calling, keeping faith toward the crown of righteousness from the Lord. Note, justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is one step further. Grace is receiving blessings and glory that we don't deserve. For example, we deserve a death penalty, justice from sin. With true repentance, are forgiven from sin by God's mercy. With true faith, receive salvation by God's grace. 25. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Paul and the elders knew each other. Paul preached the kingdom of God, and they would not see them again. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Paul had fulfilled his responsibility of the ministry that he received from the Lord, ordered to him, to his ship. Paul said, I am innocent of the blood of all men because of teaching the whole counsel of God in verse 27. Paul had preached to Jews, but they opposed it and blasphemed. Then Paul said, your blood be upon your own heads, as Paul had preached to them. And then whether or not the gospel was accepted by each of them, who would be responsible to the Lord for whether or not each life was saved. Ezekiel, the watchman's responsibility ordered to God was to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. If Ezekiel did so, God would not ask the responsibility to Ezekiel, even if the wicked did not turn from his way, and he would die in iniquity. Otherwise, God asked the responsibility to Ezekiel. His blood God will require at Ezekiel's hand. So we learn whatever ministry we do as to Lord, not to man. 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul taught all scripture without skipping a single scripture. Before calling a pastor and teacher, I as a Bible teacher served for 10 years at a local church with the summarized sermons on which was discovered less than 10% of the Word of God. There are so many peddling the Word of God, but Paul, as of sincerely and from God, spoke the Word of God in the sight of God in Christ as God wants, neither to add to the Word nor to take from it. So Paul is pure from the responsibility to teach all words of God to them, people of the Lord, pure from the blood of all men. The giver of the rewards from heaven is our Lord. Not anyone of extreme majority could give the rewards. What a blessing. 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God put you as overseers over his lambs, feed them and tend them in God's church, bought with his blood, as we learn. Holy Spirit, not man, made a person as a ministers. His church, not man's church, bought with his blood, not human efforts. 29:31. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. After Paul's departure, uncontrolled swarms would come in the larger church, made the words of God perverse, and drove away the followers of the Lord after themselves. Not only one person, but a group. And so we learn to discern whatever teaching with the scripture who testifies of Jesus, who can be against the scripture. This let the elders watch for this, as Paul continually warned everyone for 3 years. 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Paul recommends them to the word of God and his grace, which is able to edify you as the body of Christ, and to sanctify you in the inheritance incorruptible and undefiled in heaven. 33, I have coveted no one. Paul was content in whatever state he is, because he can do all things through Christ who strengthened him. So Paul never coveted any precious jewels. 34, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessity and for those who are with me. A ministry is not dependent upon whether or not a ministry is paid by church, but it depended upon whether or not the minister received the ministry from the Lord, in verse 24. Because the Lord leads, the Lord provides. So the Lord seeks is needed rather than money seeker or upon the seeker. Paul labored for his daily necessity, and here for other co-ministers as well, not becoming burden to any of his sheep. 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul's life example of how to follow Jesus by the word and deed in the spirit. To support the weak by the word and deed in the spirit is to practice the commandments to love your neighbor as yourself. In heaven, such a work of the spirit would endure in the fire test, and the doer would receive rewards. The donor to give us more blessed than the recipient to receive, because the donor's reward in heaven would not be destroyed by moth or rust and would not be stolen by thieves. And the tangible thing of recipients are blessed but perishable. Jesus' word is more blessed to give than to receive, not found in the scripture, but in Jesus' many other things, of which even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. 36-38. And when he had said this thing, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. On the beach of Miletus, it was a very emotional moment as Paul was ministering to these elders, giving them the charge of the church, commanding the church and the people to God. It's a good example for Christian fellowship. They had prayed together, comforted each other. They said their goodbyes as Paul left for a certain future of Jerusalem. So we covered all three questions. Let's see here, European Union mission, continue to keep on prayer. So using AI tool, because of very short times, many countries covered, five countries covered, many people met that way. Calvary and I'm his mission, continue to keep on prayer for them. So all, about 20 or 30 countries right there, delivered over the word of God, in gospel and in all scriptures. Keep on prayer. Right here is Philippine Ministry, that headquarters Asia the mission area, so PTA, Pastoral Training of Asia, to Malawi, and pray for feeding people from starvation and sickness. Here is an example, South Sudan. Pray for abandoned children in Ukraine to war victims and for his increase. Pray for the rescue from Afghanistan. Still, Christians persecuted at risk of life, you know, continue rescue and Ukraine. And for his glory, pray for feeding the Lord's lambs in Ukraine and South Sudan. Left hand side is Ukraine. Right hand side is South Sudan. You know, the one person passed away. So funeral service there. How many members of open? That's a question, Q&A. So many people interest questions, so read that. In the sight of God, you know, we keep our position. CGN International Conference next week. So here, five co-ministers would join there if the Lord delays. We'll continue to keep on praying for them. God bless you, everybody.